pretty uncommon. I usually choose one verse as a text, but this morning we have three, and we'll read them right now, and then we'll turn to the entirety of the message. First, at verse 3 of Genesis 37, we hear, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors." And then at verse 23, we have, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore." And then finally, we have verse 32. "And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, 'This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not.'" We'll now read the entire chapter, chapter 37, all 36 verses. This is the inspired word of God. "Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even the more. He said to them, 'Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered all around it and bowed down to my sheaf.' His brothers said to him, 'Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down before me.' But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?' And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept saying in his mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, 'Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them.' And he said to him, 'Here I am.' So he said to him, 'Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word.' So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, 'What are you seeking?' 'I am seeking my brothers,' he said. 'Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?' And the man said, 'They have gone away, for I heard them say, "Let us go to Dothan."' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then they will say that a fierce animal, then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." And Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant and infallible word. May it be a blessing to you this day and into your lives, this week, in fact. Dear beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it to have your Father's love above all others? What is it to you, the knowledge that the Lord God of all creation ordained a salvation through the person and work of his only Son, established in you by the Holy Spirit, specifically with you in mind, that you in your fallen state may no longer reside there in your sins, but have a firm hope in good things coming for all those who love him? We, each one of us, may not know exactly how the Lord God is working salvation out in others, but each one of us knows, particularly those of us who have professed our faith, we know what God is doing with each one of us in our hearts. The Lord God of all creation shall surely have his people, his church, purified, made holy once again. Redemptive history has revealed as much, and the Church of Jesus Christ shall surely remain and be fulfilled in the return of our King, the Son of God made man to save his people from our sins. The gospel message is surely a message for all the world to hear. They need to hear it. They need to hear it because through those works, the community of believers chosen by God before time may be saved in it by grace through faith in Christ and for God's glory alone. We assemble together for these reasons. We're looking for the Christ's return because we, each one of us, make up his body, each part giving of ourselves for the well-being of one another. Glory be to God for his most excellent salvation given to us. And this morning I say to each one of us. Now today, if I can perhaps make you understand a little bit of my intent, I'm not speaking to the group, to the body. But to each one of you, personally, individually, as if the gospel message was sent to this place and sent to no one else but just you. For a moment, don't worry about anyone else. Don't worry about your wayward loved ones. Even those who should be here but are not. Don't worry about the Great Commission's gospel call to spread the message to the ends of the earth. Don't even worry about the person sitting to your left or the person to your right. We'll come to that for sure. But this is a message for you. And for you, and for you. As if you were the only one sitting here, with no one else listening. The Joseph narrative mostly consumes the remainder of the book of Genesis, but what is unique to Genesis 37 is this robe of many colors. It's nowhere else mentioned in Scripture. It represents a precious love of a father towards his son. It represents great offense to the rest of the family, and finally great sorrow and great loss to a bereaved father. I tell you that there is a gospel message hidden in the robe of many colors. I'm not going to say that Jacob here represents God and Joseph, Jesus. These characters are too imperfect for such symbolism, but there is meaning in this robe of many colors revealed to us today, and it is surely fulfilled for us in the person and work in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I preach to you, and to you, and to you, this theme and these points in the robe of many colors. Let us see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our three points this morning are the robe given, the robe stripped away, and the robe returned. Firstly, the robe given. We've come to a new epoch in Jacob's life. Scripturally speaking, Genesis 35 has returned him back to the land of his fathers as promised by God. Genesis 36 confirms God's providential blessing over Esau. Yes, yes, Jacob surely had been chosen over Esau, but God also allows a blessing over Esau and his household. And in the genealogies of Genesis 36, we see those blessings fulfilled. This leads us to Genesis 37 with a confirmed hope that in the promises of God, the line of promise that leads to Jesus even continues on. Verse 1 of Genesis 37 and the beginning of verse 2 summarizes the history we've received thus far in Scripture and sets us up for the Joseph narrative now to come. Verses 1 and 2 begin. Jacob lived in the land of his father, sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. And then verse 2 begins with somewhat of a startled break in the text. It continues on, which transitions Jacob from a main character to a supporting one as we now come to the fields where some of his sons are tending to their pastoral chores. It continues on with Joseph, the firstborn of Rachel, who we know is now dead, but the most loved wife of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, verse 2 carries on, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Here we are introduced to the animosity between these brothers. In a former sermon, I had considered the animosity between the mothers of these brothers. It is noteworthy that they are the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah that are mentioned here. These were the maids of Leah and Rachel who were made wives of Jacob in an attempt to bear him children. The entire narrative of the four wives of Joseph is a messy one, and we need not rehash such things this morning, but it's good for context That animosity moves to the next generation. Rachel had been singled out back then as Jacob's first and greatest love. Her firstborn Joseph is now singled out as much. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the son of his old age and he made him a robe of many colors. This is the first of three verses where the phrase robe of many colors is mentioned. It represents it. It singles out Joseph as especially loved by Jacob. He is loved unlike the rest of his brothers. No one else received a robe like this one. It would be clear visually now by anyone who looked upon him that he was preferred, that he was chosen, if you will. Now some at this point will preach a righteous and a Christ-like Joseph, warranted and rewarded by his father for delivering a bad report against his brothers. But I don't think I can get there. I don't think I can do that. Verse 3 doesn't volunteer such information other than being the son of Rachel and the son of Jacob's old age. We can only surmise. We can make assumptions about such things. But what stands out for me thus far in the passage is the animosity between these brothers, which is only increased by the clear favoritism showed by their father towards this lone half-brother. Yes, Benjamin is already born, but it's probably at this point too little to help in the fields. If they hated Joseph for the bad report given, they hate him all the more. Now that Jacob's love is literally hanging off of Joseph's shoulders for all to clearly see. It's verified in verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. The sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, that is Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher are the first mentioned here, but in the coming dreams that Joseph has, it is clear that their issues are shared by the rest of the brothers and even Jacob to a certain extent at verse 10. In Joseph's first dream, we can assume he's still in or back in the fields with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. And here is the dream. We read it from verse 7 once again. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. I kind of fear a little bit at this moment about what that robe had meant to Joseph, that it incited perhaps maybe a little bit of pride in himself. I fear that in the dreams that were given, even though they are proven to be prophecy in the coming chapters, that Joseph, while wearing his father's love, is all too ready to tell his family about the dreams in such the hate against him is increased. Even his father rebukes him at the conclusion of the second dream. It is all summarized for us at verse 11. And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in mind. Secondly, the robe stripped away. It is clear to us now that Joseph has something that is to be desired by the other brothers. Former verses have called out the hate that they have for him, but its root cause is founded on envy. One might like to argue that this 17-year-old punk is garnering the favor of their father and is lording such a love over them. And that is the justified cause for their hate. But they, even if they don't want to admit it, even if they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, Romans 1:18, they envy such a love as what the robe of many colors clearly represents. They want what Joseph has. And they know that they don't have it. And the narrative is now laid before us. sheep herding continues on in the lives of Jacob's family, to Genesis 34's Shechem, we now go. Now, I'll let you each study up on what went on at Genesis 34 at Shechem on your own time. It's surprising that Jacob had flocks there and still. And it is now to Shechem that Jacob wants to send Joseph. We have gleaned that Joseph is in the position to report what's going on in the family business. We hear Jacob's words to him at verse 14, and we can wonder if part of Jacob's reasoning is due to the dreams that are told to him. And so at verse 14, Jacob says to Joseph, "Go see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." From the valley of Hebron to Shechem and then to Dothan, Joseph proceeds in his wanderings. By the way, other wanderers are making their way to the brothers as well, and we'll come to that. But from a distance and by his brothers, Joseph is now noticed, and the envious hate that they carry finds an opportunity to do Jacob's favorite son some damage. And so they construct a devious plan. Verses 18 to 20. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what becomes of his dreams." Well, yes, we will. These dreams do get fulfilled. The Holy Spirit has sought it fit to reveal their truth in just a few chapters forward. And it is not what these brothers mean here. They mean this. If they can't have the love of Jacob expressed towards this Joseph, then not even Joseph should be left to live in it. They seek not to see his dreams fulfilled, but to prove them to be false, and at the cost of Joseph's very life. And yet there are some morals left amongst them. At a prior catechism class at Bethel, we spoke about the second use of the law. I mentioned it this morning, and in that it carries a restraining effect upon humanity. Reuben may have felt as the other brothers did, but he was still in charge as the oldest with their care in Jacob's absence. Even if a fallen humanity claims ignorance to God's law, and even if it is hateful towards God's chosen, it still knows its good from its evil. And we see it in Reuben's concern at this point, verses 21 and 22. "But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.'" And the brothers are restrained. They too recognize Reuben's authority for the moment. And upon Joseph's arrival, we come now to the second mentioning of the phrase "robe of many colors." At verse 23, we receive, "So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore." They knew what this robe represented. They knew the explicit, singled out love that it carried. They felt Joseph undeserving of such things. Or perhaps they felt themselves deserving of more such things. They, after all, were in charge with returning to Shechem. And again, read chapter 34 on your own time. It doesn't end well. It'll take the terror of God as witnessed in Genesis 35 verse 5 to keep those tempers under control and for Jacob to leave that place. Returning there to oversee the family business meant stress and oversight and responsibility. And then here comes this punk, Joseph, with his reputation for bad reporting, who would give nothing towards the work, and all too ready to report bad behavior of these to their father. Surely they deserve a higher love than this Joseph. So cries the heart, beloved, that believes that it is by works that we are saved and not by grace. Children. And so they grab him. And they strip him of his robe. And you can just see the robe being held in the hands of one of his brothers. Just, you know what, just staring at it. Having separated it from Joseph. Having symbolically interfered or stepped in between Jacob and the chosen object of his love. And then to take this Joseph and cast him into a pit. And now to think of what to do with him next. Where will this hate, where will this envy take them? What will become of his dreams now? You know, one wonders what they hated more, Joseph, or the robe of many colors in light of what it represented. And for now, there is momentary triumph. It seems as if their power over Joseph has won. They've effectively separated the symbol of a father's love from his beloved son. And now to wait and to see what else is necessary to solidify the brokenness in their efforts. Well, thirdly, we come to the robe returned. The stage is now set. It seems as though there is no hope for this Joseph. He no longer is in possession of the gift from his father. Actually, his father doesn't even know where he is at this moment. He sent him to Shechem, there in Dothan. If there was a time and an opportunity to even bury Joseph alive in his brother's opinions, now is the time. Here we find him in a literal pit, a hole in the ground, a dried out well, a dried out cistern, and unable to climb out. Joseph finds himself in many other places, where many other places of Scripture refer to as a special kind of hell. At Psalm 28, verse 1, David cries out, "Oh, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." He sings also at Psalm 30, verses 3 and 9, "O Lord, you have brought my soul from Sheol, you restore me to life among those who go down to the pit. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?" The sons of Korah sing this lamentation at Psalm 88, verses 3 to 6. "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like the one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep." And finally, at Psalm 103, verse 4, David calls again out to God, the God who redeems your life from the pit. This is where we find Joseph. And although he is not killed, his life proceeds to grow worse before it grows to get better. while his brothers eat and decide what to do with him. Verse 25, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. That's those group of wanderers that were coming while Joseph himself was in the field. And it is now Judah. It is now Judah who speaks, as Reuben, for no reason given in Scripture, is not present. Verses 26 to 28. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. And then Reuben returns, finds Joseph missing, and laments that the plans to save him have been thwarted. It could be that his brothers filled him in on their plans. They too could not find it in themselves to spill Joseph's blood. God's law restraining them, of course, here as well. But Reuben wanted Joseph to go back to his dad. The other brothers thought it more fitting to send him into slavery. And so a story now will have to be carefully crafted. Joseph isn't dead, but given his fate in the minds of these, he might as well be. They hated him, and even though they couldn't kill him, it is important for them that Jacob feel the death of his son as they have felt the lack of love from their own father. Verse 31, then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. And now we come to the third mentioning of the phrase robe of many colors at verse 32. In its mentioning, it is delivered to Jacob almost as a kind of trophy. Now, don't get me wrong, not a trophy of Jacob's, but a triumph of the brothers that hate him so. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify if it is your son's robe or not." These men are acting faithful, actually, to the report first given to them by Jacob, by Joseph at the start of our passage. They give a dishonest report, a bad report, if you will. They lie about what they have done. They want Jacob to feel the pain that they have felt of being unchosen. The robe of many colors comes back to this father stained with blood, representing death and nothing more. And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe." A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No. No, I shall go down to Sheol, to the pit, to a kind of hell that represents his sorrow, to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Sadly, it is not yet Jacob's time to see God's providence in all of this. In all of this, Joseph, who shall yet one day save them all, is preserved by God. Firstly, by the law of God being written on the hearts of his brothers. They hated him, kids, children. They hated his guts. But they couldn't kill him. Even that is God's law working. Secondly, these Ishmaelites, these Midianites, will take him down to Egypt and sell him, verse 36, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. And he shall have to weigh those trials as well, but he weighs them. And the Lord is with him all the way to being appointed second in command of Egypt, where his entire family is preserved and those dreams do get fulfilled. They are prophecy. But that is a sermon for another time. Today we think about this robe of many colors. A father gave it to his son out of a love that he didn't earn. Joseph was simply the son of Jacob's old age, the eldest child of his first and greatest love. His brothers hated him for it, specifically because they knew that their father loved him more. And so they stripped him of it. And so they tried to stand in between this father and this son. And the robe is returned to this father, bloodied, representing only death. Dear brother, dear sister, dear children, dear child of the Father Almighty, Creator of the universe, In the Lord God's perfect and wonderful love, the gospel is like Joseph's robe of many colors. It is specifically and wonderfully, intentionally given to you, to you, to you. When you wear it, you're going to stand out. It is clear that the Father's love for you is more than what the world can offer, and it is what the world wants. You're an easy target now. People can see you coming from a mile away. They see you living like Jesus, and they'd rather have that kind of love for themselves. But they are not chosen. You have been chosen. And they will do whatever they can to get rid of it. They will make fun of you. They will use every gift that they've been providentially given by God to stand against you, to make you sound silly and pathetic and useless. And they will do all they can to prevent you from having it. Although they may think they're winning, they have no hope of understanding the pure providential wonder of God's glory-filled intentions in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel has become bloodied. His body was broken. His blood was shed for the complete forgiveness of all of your sins and my sins. In the death of Jesus Christ, you know what? I am sure that the devil had thought he'd won. Jesus went down to the pit for you and you and you. But this bloody gospel, although at times may feel tough, may feel trying, this gospel of Jesus Christ fulfills in glory. We don't hear of Joseph's robe of many colors anymore after Genesis 37, but we do see it fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, washing us whiter than snow. The Lord God gave his gospel just for you and for you and for you. It was a gift of love from a father to his son, to his daughter. No doubt it will bring you trial. but only momentary, considering the eternal glory and peace and love coming. It is for all to hear. But it is for all of you to have. Truly in the robe of many colors. Please see the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved by it. Amen.